I want to jump right into the message this morning. This is a word that I've heard preached a bunch of times, but never like this. I heard it from Christine Kane at the Bethel Conference about 2 weeks ago. And it's funny because at that conference, I took a million notes on everything that was said except for this message. I just decided I was going to sit back and just take it in. And it was so good. And I thought, this is a great message. One day, I'll probably need to go back and try to find some notes and put together an outline because this was a great way to look at John chapter 5. Turn to John chapter 5. And on Wednesday, I was preparing the sermon, and the Lord's like, do that Christine Kane message from John 5. And I'm like, oh, that's a good idea, Lord, but I don't have any notes. And he said, yeah, but your daughters took notes because I had my kids there with me. So I asked Joy and Jordana if they had any notes from the Christine Kane message, and they were like flipping through all these notes from John chapter 5. So this is a combination of the Holy Spirit, Christine Kane, Joy and Jordana Kerrigan, and then whatever I try not to do to ruin this next few minutes. How about that? Open your Bible to John chapter 5. Flip to the New Living Translation in your digital Bible. You can't flip to it in a paper Bible. It's just going to be the translation, whatever you see on the screen behind me. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the Sheep Gate, was the Pool of Bethesda. It had five covered porches. Crowds, multitudes of sick people, blind folks, lame people, paralyzed people, they would lay on these porches around the pool. One of the men that had been lying there had been sick for how many years, church? 38 years he had been lying there. When Jesus saw him, there were multitudes, but when Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been ill for a long time, and he asked him, would you like to get well? I can't, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Somebody else always gets there ahead of me. So Jesus said, stand up. Notice the exclamation point. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat, and he began walking. But this happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. And they said to the man that was cured, hey, this is the Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath. You can't carry your sleeping mat on the Sabbath. But he replied, but the man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk. Well, who would say such a thing, they demanded. And the man said, I don't know, because Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. Verse 14, afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple, and he told him, hey, now that you are healed, stop sinning, or something even worse might happen to you. So then the man went and told the Jewish leaders, hey, it was Jesus that healed me. Let me explain a little bit about the pools that were around Jerusalem. This story is centered around the Pool of Bethesda, but I remind you that before you would go up to the temple, you would need to be baptized. Every time you went to church, every Sunday, you'd get baptized. Of course, worship was on every day of the week, but before going up to the church, you would have to go through the water because it was symbolic, if you will, that you were washing off the sins of that week. You were washing off the filth of the world before going up to see God. At the end of this service today, we're going to be celebrating three people being baptized. And I don't know if you've ever seen, come on now, Julie knows what to do. When these folks come up out of the waters of baptism, I want you to shout and cheer and celebrate what God has done. Let's give him praise. So what happened is they would have pools or baptism tanks all around Jerusalem. So the Pool of Siloam was down below on the south side. The Pool of Bethesda was on the north side. So if you were coming into Jerusalem through the northern gates, and this specifically said it was near the Sheep Gate. So how would people worship back then, right? Here we sing songs, we raise our hands and sing songs, and then we might give money in the offering later. We give the Lord our hearts. We give the Lord our lives. But back then, they would literally give the Lord animals. They would bring a sheep. It was animal sacrifice. That's how God wanted to be worshiped before the cross, before Jesus. So people would bring their sheep and their lambs and their goats and their bulls, and they would come in through this animal entrance into Jerusalem. And then because they've been around all the manure and all the filth of the world, they would have to go through the Pool of Bethesda. They would have to get baptized, if you will, wash off all the filth of the world before going up to worship. But it said it's Israel, it's the Middle East, it's hot. So they built these covered porches that would go all the way around so that folks could get out of the sun and sit in the shade. And it was commonplace in Jewish culture that if you were in some way disabled, if you were handicapped, if you were crippled, if you were blind, if you were lame, it said that you would be able to beg for alms for the poor. So that as people, healthy people, were going up to worship, you would sit there and hold out your hand and they would throw a shekel or two in there as they would. It's part of their worship, is giving to the poor before they would go up to worship. So the poor, the lame, the crippled, they would sit there in these porches in the shade and just wait. And it was part of the custom to receive alms for the poor. But there was also this superstition that every once in a while an angel would come stir the waters. And if you could get into the waters first, that you would be healed of whatever your ailment was. So this guy had been there for 38 years, just waiting for his turn to get into the water. Now, isn't it interesting that it said that there were multitudes, there were crowds of people lying around? Misery loves company. We love to be in the pit of despair with other people who are also in the pit of despair, because we love to complain about what has happened in our lives, and we want other people to hear us complaining so they can validate our complaints. We want to create a culture, if you will, of this is where all of the blind, and this is where all the crippled, and this is where all the deaf, and this is where all the mute, and this is where all the lepers, and this is where, so we have this community, this culture of brokenness. And all it does is validate and then continue to replicate our pain. Because sometimes when we have had a situation in our life, when we have gone through pain, when we have been knocked down to the mat, we've been through divorce, we've been through addiction, we've been through abuse, we've been through pain, we've been through depression, we've been through anxiety, we've been through fear, we've been through loneliness, and we get knocked down on the mat, we would rather have people affirm us and comfort us and enable us to stay down on the mat. See, there's many people in the Bible that are nameless people that God has worked through. So here's a whole multitude of nameless people. Think about it. The woman with the issue of blood. The blind man came to Jesus. The deaf man came to Jesus. The leper was healed by Jesus. But you are not the thing that afflicts you. You are a son and a daughter of God. You're not nameless to him. So many times we identify with the pain that we carry through our lives, instead of identify as a son and as a daughter of God, that I have a name and it is not broken. I have a name and it is not victim. I have a name and it is not orphan. I have a name and it is not abused. I have a name and Jesus knows it. But we would rather sit on our mat. I wish I brought a yoga mat with me. Thank you, beautiful. Now, Jeff was like, "You have a yoga mat?" I said, "Look at me. And tell me if you think I do yoga." I have to do it the other way, right? So that's how little I know about yoga mats. There you go, Tiger. We would rather come down here to our broken place and just sit here and watch the world go by and watch all the other Christians do well and watch all the other Christians grow in their faith. You know, the whole vision of this church is to know God, to grow in our faith, and then do what God's called us to do. And we're pretty good at teaching people to know God, but we're not very good at teaching you to get up off the mat. And I think we've got a lot of people in the church, in the American church, that are sitting on their mat saying, "Woe is me. Oh, life is so hard down here. Nobody knows my name, and everything's terrible, and North Korea, and Trump, and it's hot, and my AC don't work, and my truck don't work, and my dog's got a limp, and I was rejected, and I was abused, and everybody hurt me, and nobody loves me, and nobody knows my name. Woe is me." And then you look at the person on the mat next to you, and you're like, "Isn't life tough?" And they're like, "Life is so tough for me too. Let me tell you all of the things that are tough in my life." And we create a culture of people. We create life groups full of people that sit around on their mat and commiserate with one another about their pain. But Jesus wants to rename you, teach you your identity, that your identity is not the issue that you've walked through. Your identity is son and daughter. Now notice, there were multitudes there in the crowd, but Jesus went after the one. What? Doesn't that seem kind of savage of Jesus? You'd think he'd walk into the pool of Bethesda and be like, everybody gets healed today in my name. He went after the one that had faith for healing, the one that wanted to get up off the mat. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Here's where Jesus differs from the average church, right? I think the average church would have fired Jesus for being a bad pastor. Absolutely. Because he walks up to this guy in pain, broken, lame, and he's like, hey, do you want to get healed or not? Wouldn't the obvious answer be like, no, Lord, I like staying here, you know, as a broken victim of my drug addiction forever. I like being abused forever. Or wouldn't Jesus be a better pastor if he gets down here on the mat and he's like, it's tough down here, isn't it? I'm so sorry for you. You're just going to be a victim forever and ever and ever. Jesus never sat down with him and said, I'm so sorry for you. Jesus stood above the mat and said, get up! Exclamation point. If Catherine went to the hospital when one of you people were in the hospital and she walked in, it's like, get up out of that hospital bed! Exclamation point. I'd fire her for being uncompassionate. Jesus was savage with this dude. He's like, 38 years, huh? Get up. Do you even want to get healed or do you want to sit there and wallow? 38 years, this dude laid here next to the pool. Think about it. If he would have moved towards his healing 1 inch a year, surely he could have gotten wet by the 37th year. You know what I'm saying? But that dude just wanted to sit there and wallow in his pain instead of start to move, even if it was a crawl to get closer to healing. Some of you, today is your day. You got to start inching towards your healing. Jesus was so savage with this dude. He's like, listen, do you want to get healed or not? Are you willing to lose that label, that tag of victim? Are you willing to throw out the pity card? Are you willing to get up off the mat and get away from all these people that are holding you down and start walking with those that are victorious? Are you willing to let go of the addiction, the pain, the unforgiveness, the rejection, the shame, the sickness, the fear that has ruled and reigned your life? Yeah, I get it that life's hard. Get up, it gets better. And here's the problem. Here's why most people like to stay on the mat. It's because if we get up, then we have responsibilities, then we have job, then we have to help other people. And we would rather stay here where all the attention is on us, where we like being the victim, we like being the orphan, we like everybody, you know, I'm so sorry for you. And it perpetuates the orphan mentality, the broken mentality. Jesus came up to that mat and he's coming here to you today. He says, do you even want to be healed? No, you're like, oh, amen, praise hallelujah, I want to be healed, I want to be set free, I want to stop sinning, I want to stop serving the devil, hallelujah, today's my day. That's your response. What was the lame man's response after 38 years? The very first thing, he didn't say, yes, I would like to be healed. He said the stupidest thing you could still, he said, well, it's not my fault. I didn't do it, it's not my fault, you don't understand. Nobody would put me in the water, Jesus. At 38 years, I've been sitting here and can't walk. Do you want to be healed? It's not my fault. They hurt me when I was a teenager. The pastor said mean things to me. Somebody got into sin and hurt me. Somebody abused me. Somebody left me. It's not my fault. That wasn't the question. Do you want to be healed or not? Because if you would move a little bit, you'd get closer to your healing. I guess the question is, you can't get off that mat or you won't get off that mat. Because you're never going to change what you tolerate in your life. And if you'll tolerate pain and you'll tolerate fear and you'll tolerate addiction and you'll tolerate sin and you'll tolerate loneliness and you'll tolerate depression, you'll tolerate anxiety, you'll tolerate your brokenness, you're going to stay there in that culture that you have created because we have made an idol out of it. Even in the body of Christ, we have made an idol out of pain and fear. And it's almost like noble to be a victim. It's more noble to stand up and move forward and walk in the power of Christ. Because that familiar mat, this thing that has held you, is often the hindrance to your faith. And we blame other people as to why we're not healed. Well, it's their fault. And it's because you don't even want to be healed. You want to stay there in your pity party. Say, well, I was just born this way. Yeah, we're all born into sin and brokenness. But that's why Jesus came, was to set us free. So stop talking about what people have done to you and start talking about what Jesus has done for you. Let me be very clear. I am not minimizing the pain of somebody that might be physically disabled in some way, like this scripture says, blind, paralyzed, deaf, lame, mute, leopard, whatever. I'm not minimizing the pain of going through these terrible things. I'm not minimizing the pain of going through a divorce or abuse. I'm not minimizing that pain. I'm simply saying, how long do you want to stay on the mat? And I'm not shaming you for your addiction to pornography or weed or alcohol or lust or pride or yourself. I'm simply saying, how long do you want to stay down on that mat? Because there's a greater work of healing available to you, that you might walk in freedom, that you might walk and give Jesus glory, because Jesus gets the glory for what he's done. There's a greater work through Jesus when we're healed and when we're whole than when we're broken and on the ground. You see what I'm saying? The blood of Jesus does not give you amnesia to your pain. You're not going to just magically forget what happened to you and the pain that you walked through. No, God is going to use that pain to make you stronger and to touch more people, that he might get more praise. Jesus is going to challenge you, not accommodate you. And he said, do you want to be healed? See, here's the thing. We just assumed that Jesus would come in love. He did, but he spoke the truth first. See, truth comes first. Jesus didn't just throw out the truth of the situation because he's so full of love. No, Jesus challenged the man with truth in love, his love for that man. Because so many times when somebody speaks savage like this with us, we're like, well, the pastor was so harsh with me, they just don't love me. No, they're speaking the truth in love. Well, the pastor didn't come get on the mat and sit and just tell me everything was okay and it wasn't my fault and everything. The pastor just stood there and said, get up. Yeah, because there's a lot of broken people on the other side of that mat that you can help to affect change in their life, that you can minister to if you get up off your mat. It's not about you. It's about Jesus getting glory, and it's about others finding Jesus so that you can minister to them. See, and here's the problem. So many times Christians think they're being compassionate because they come and sit on other people's mats, and they put their arms around them, and they sing kumbaya, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry you went through this terrible thing. All we're doing is enabling the pain, and we're replicating the culture of pain and brokenness in their life. We as leaders in the body of Christ need to call people up off the mat. Jesus didn't apologize to this guy. He said, do you want to be healed or not? Or do you want to stay in that pain?
Yeah.
It's your choice. Pity party or victory? Most Christians would rather have the pity party. And some people would say, that was so savage of Jesus. The dude can't walk. But here Jesus says, get up and walk. Jesus will never tell you to do something that you can't do. Sometimes it might seem impossible until you meet the one who makes the impossible possible. But he's never going to ask you to do something that you simply can't do. Now, he might need to do a miracle in your heart, a miracle in your mind, a miracle in your life. But he's not going to ask you to do something you can't do, but he will ask you to do something that you can do, but yet you can't handle without faith. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is trusting in the power of Jesus. And Jesus looked at this man, he said, do you even want to be healed? And God made excuses. And then when Jesus had heard enough of his excuses and exclamation points, he said, get up, pick up your mat. He said, I want you to carry this thing. He didn't just say, get up and leave your mat. He said, get up and pick up your mat, and then I want you to carry around with you the thing that has carried you for 38 years. And I want it to be a demonstration, a trophy that Jesus is Lord over your situation. And when other broken people, when other people on the mat see you carrying the victory of Jesus, they're not saying it never happened, but they're saying that Jesus carried you through and off of the mat. That's the purpose of the mat, is to give Jesus praise. That's your destiny. Get up, carry the thing that once carried you, and give Jesus some praise. Stop talking about all the pain and all the, where you're looking back. Look forward and say, Jesus set me free, and he's going to set you free. Start talking about Jesus' victory in your life more than talking about the pain. You carry revival with you wherever you go, because it gives Jesus praise. Now, here's the problem. Not everybody that sees you get off the mat is going to be happy. There's going to be other people sitting up under the porches there that are see you like, praise the Luya, I'm off the mat, God set me free, and they're going to call you back and say, hey, who do you think you are to be off drugs? Who do you think you are to be clean and sober? Who do you think you are to love your wife? Who do you think you are to be in church every week? Who do you think you are? You belong here with us. Yeah. And that's a lie. You say, no, I'm running in a new culture. I'm running in a culture that I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High God. The Lord doesn't know me by my past and my pain. He knows me by the name that he's called me to. And your broken culture ain't going to work for me no more. Nobody wants to hear about your victory because they want to stay in their pity party. So when the haters start talking, you just be like, la, 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 la. I can't hear you because Jesus has set me free. And here's the devil's going to come in, and he's going to try to intimidate you. Jesus warned you in the story. He's going to try to intimidate you. Say, hey, who do you think you are? Yeah. You were born this way. You went through that terrible thing. You're not a child of God that walks in freedom. That's other people. Other people get free. Other people get healed. Other people live for God. That's not you. So get back down on that mat. And that's where you need to stand up and not be intimidated by fear. And you walk it out, not just initially today, but you walk it out all day, every day. Why? Because God's going to give you new opportunities to walk in freedom. Here's the two things that people often want to stay on the mat for. Number one, they don't know their identity. So they identify with the pain, they identify with the abuse, they identify with the thing in their life. That's my label, that's who I am. And you need to learn to identify with the victory of the Lord Jesus. That pain is in your past and not a part of your future. And number two, that if I get up, I'm gonna have to start helping other people. And most people are unwilling to do that because they wanna stay on that mat. Because here is where I feel commiserated. Here is where I have a culture of other people that understand my pain. If I start running with those people, they've never been through what I've been through. They're not going to understand my pain. Today is your day for healing. Today is your day for victory and breakthrough. Today is your day to get up off the mat and never go back to that mat again. Today is the day for you to stop suffering. Because there's suffering in everybody's life. But today is your day to get off the mat. Today is your day to have that relationship with God that you've never had before. Today is your day to get up and start walking, start moving, stop just laying there for 38 years. That's a lifetime. Here's another thing. You're not the only one that's suffering. I'm gonna say, no, I'm the one on this mat. I'm on my mat. Yeah, but so is your spouse. So is your kids and your grandkids. So is your church, your neighbors, the people you work with. We are all dealing with your issues. You're tearing us all down. But imagine how amazing we would do if we would all get up off our mats and start walking in victory and freedom and wholeness. Demonstrate to your kids what it looks like when somebody beats alcoholism. They beat drug addiction. They beat infidelity. They beat lying and anger and lust and pride, and they start becoming a man, a woman of God, a woman of integrity, a woman with purpose and destiny in your life, that you give your kids the gift of freedom instead of the same pain that your parents gave you. How about that? So that your kids won't have to carry your pain anymore. Your spouse won't have to carry and walk in your pain anymore. Because you're making your spouse pay for something that was done to you long ago. It's time for everybody to stop paying that price, because Jesus has paid the ultimate price to set you free. Now, what happens? The man is set free. The religious leaders are mad, because religious people get mad when people start seeing miracles happen in church. And he goes to the bar. He goes to the lake to drink a case of beer. He goes to find his weed dealer. He goes back to the computer to fire up a porn site, but this time with better filters so nobody catches you. No, he goes to the temple. He went to church. He found his freedom, and then he went to church. He found his freedom, and he went into the presence of the Lord. At the pool, Jesus saw him. In the temple, Jesus found him. And Jesus was so savage. He walked up to this dude that for 38 years couldn't walk. And now this guy's walking around carrying this mat that held him for 38 years. And Jesus walks up. He's like, hey, look at you. You're healed. Stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. What? Jesus. What happened to like cupcakes and fairy tale rainbow Jesus? This Jesus is savage with people. Jesus is like, hey, I'm so glad you're healed. Knock it off or that something's going to get worse. So I'm all about cupcake and rainbow Jesus, but I'm also about John chapter 5 Jesus. Hey church, knock it off or bad stuff might happen. Stop sinning. Jesus was saying, dude, my grace is not a license for your rebellion. I gave you my grace, I gave you my power, I gave you my victory that you might walk in holiness. That's the power of Jesus. So my question is, where is Jesus gonna find you tomorrow? Where is Jesus gonna find you next Sunday? Where is Jesus gonna find you Tuesday night at 7? Is he gonna find you wallowing on your mat? Or is Jesus gonna find you in the temple? Is Jesus gonna find you pressing in worship? Is Jesus gonna find you handing out invite cards and praying for people? Is Jesus gonna find you on a missions trip? Is Jesus gonna find you in a life group? Is Jesus gonna find you at the growth track? Is Jesus gonna find you serving on a dream team? Jesus was savage, but yet full of grace. Generally speaking, the church has not been great at welcoming in the broken, the lost, the addict, the outsider. Generally speaking, church has been great for other church people. We've created a culture in the church that's like, hey, churchy church people, you guys are welcome here. Hey, freaks that don't love Jesus, you stay over there in our visitors section. No. Those days are over. We need to be like Jesus, and we need to go to the pools, and we need to go find the one and say, come on, get up off the mat. And we need to hold up our mat and say, yeah, this was a part of my past. I used to be there on that mat with you, but Jesus set me free. Come on, I know the way. Don't be scared. Hey, I know the boss is a little savage, but he loves you so much. He might talk real straight with you and tell you to stop sinning, but he is gonna call you up off of that mat. And he might look you right in your face on a Sunday in June and say, do you want to be healed? Because if you do, how long are you gonna tolerate that pain? How long are you gonna tolerate that unforgiveness? How long are you gonna tolerate that rejection? How long are you gonna tolerate the fact that you were hurt by your family? Because Jesus says, get up, carry your mat, go tell other people what he has done for you. Because the same Jesus that asked that man 2,000 years ago, hey bro, do you even wanna be healed? He's here today. He's alive and well. And he's asking you, do you want to be healed? Are you gonna make excuses? Or are you gonna stand up, pick up the thing that once carried you and begin to carry it as a trophy to the victory of Jesus at work in your life? Hop up on your feet, let's pray. I asked the Lord this week to reveal things in my life that were mats that I was sitting on. Unforgiveness, unbelief, sin, rebellion, fear. We all struggle with different things. So just close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, you know, God, what's my mat? What's the thing that has been holding me down the most? What's the thing, the source of all the brokenness in my life? Is it a parent that abandoned you? Is it somebody that you loved that hurt you and abused you? Was it an addiction, either yours or somebody else's? Was it a religious spirit? You don't measure up to be churchy church enough for God. That's a lie. Your own sin or rebellion or unbelief. What is it that's been holding you down all these years? And then the question, do you want to be healed today? Do you want to get up off that mat today? I want to deal with hearts in a minute, but let's first deal with the issue of this mat. I'll lead you in a prayer, and if you mean it, pray it out loud with me. This can be for anybody that's got something in their life. And I'll just refer to your thing as the mat. How about that? If you believe it, pray it out with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I've been on this mat for a long time, but I want to be healed. I want to rise up. I want to carry this thing that has carried me. And I want to walk in victory. I want to make you famous because you set me free. I'm not identified by this pain. I'm identified as a child of God so that I can walk in freedom, in wholeness, in who you have called me to be. Let me deal with hearts in a real personal way, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you would be honest with God and say, I'm not right with God. Man, I've been separated from God by my sin, by my unbelief, by the way I've lived. But I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that if I would repent of my sin and I'd ask him to forgive me, that he would give me that gift of eternal life, that I wouldn't have to face death and hell and the agony of death on earth and the agony of death forever in hell, but that I would know God personally, intimately. And today's your day to get up off of that mat of death. So maybe you've never known God, or maybe you knew God a long time ago. You had a relationship with him when you were little or years ago. And today is your day. So whether for the first time or the first time in a long time, you want to pray and ask God to forgive you. Would you shoot your hand up real high so I know who I'm praying for? Say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Say, I see your hand on the side. Is there anybody else? I see your hand on the other side, over there in the back. Anybody else? Raise your hand up real high. Why don't we all pray this together? Say, Dear Jesus, I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me brand new. I receive the gift of eternal life. And I believe that you are Lord. And I will get up off of this mat, this death mat, and I will walk in eternal life as a son and a daughter of God. Thank you, Jesus. For the four or five of you that raised your hand, you just went from death to life. You got up off your mat. Come on, somebody. Here's what we're going to do. If you were one of those four or five, or maybe there were more hands I couldn't quite see with the lights in my eyes, that prayed that prayer either for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to reach into the seat back in front of you and fill out a decision card. You can either bring it up to the front here and turn it into one of our prayer team people, or you can drop it in the buckets when they go by in just a little bit for the offering, because we want to touch base with you. We want to love on you. We want to give you a book. All of the prayer team workers up here at the front will have a little book to kind of get you started in your walk of faith. Maybe you were too chicken to raise your hand, but you prayed that with me and you believe. We're going to fill one of those cards out and come down to the front. I would like our prayer team to come down to the front. Maybe you were one of those people that decided today's the day I'm getting up off my mat You don't need to pray for 20 minutes, but why don't you come pray for 1 or 2 minutes and just agree and affirm. Let one of these men or women just to kind of help lift you up off of that mat and set you on that foundation of faith that you're moving in the right direction, just to pray for a minute with you. And if nothing else, then go ahead and fill out one of those blue cards so that our pastors know and we can be praying for you and encouraging you and loving on you. And don't forget, you got to change your culture. See, that man that got set free, he left the pool of Bethesda. He left all those jokers there, and he went up into worship in the temple. You got to leave those bad friends. You got to leave those people that hold you down. You got to leave the haters that want to hold you in that place of brokenness and sin and anxiety and fear and move on. Best way to do that would be right here at New Life Family Church. That's a good sales pitch. If there's any pain in your body, any sickness in your body, please come get prayer. We don't want you leaving here with sickness when Jesus is so amazing. So everybody else, let's just worship God. And this might be part of your process of getting up off the mat. It's to lift your heart, to lift your hands, to lift your voices in worship as we worship God. So come on, y'all.